guy.
Core permanente.
Well, glorious the sound of the all glorious she grew and she bore under. Namaste, Saraswati and Deva, Kaur, Mani, Vichana, Nirvishay, Sarasvati, Vati, Pasgadhyayati, Sikhana. Om Agyanajmananda, Tsya, Agyananjana, Shalakaya, Chaksur, Militam, Yena, Tasmai, Shri, Gurave, Namaha, Shri, Chaitanya, Maro, Bhikshtam, Stapitam, Yena, Bhutale, Svayam, Rupa, Kadam, Iham, Vidati, Swapadantikam, Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sya Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Vitam Sya Hey Krishna, Karna Sindho, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostute, Tapta, Kanche, Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindavani, Shri, Prishavani, Sutta, Devi, Pranamami, Hri, Kriye, Vanchakapa, Drubhyascha, Kripa, Sindhu, Devacha, Patitana, Pavane, Vyo, Vaishnavi, Vyo, Namaha, Chaitanya Pranjananda Shadevayanata Harshi Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktananda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Today being the appearance day of Lord Ramachandra, I'll read a little bit from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, the Ramayana is full of unlimited stories, and there are other stories outside of the Ramayana about Lord Ramachandra. And basically speaking, I'll just read some of the verses from Bhagavatam and fill in a couple of the details. But actually what the Ramayana is really more about than simply stories, it's about a certain bhava, feeling. Feeling is a little bit unusual throughout the whole Ramayana from what we might consider ecstasy. The whole story is full of lamentation. That King Dasarath, he couldn't get any son, any progeny, although he was the emperor of the world, and he had three very qualified wives, Kaushalya, Kaikeyi, and Sumitra. Still, he was despondent because the sun god, the line coming from the sun god would be ended. A very long line. So he was lamenting, although he's the emperor of the whole world. Then finally, after performing some sacrifice, after going through a great endeavor, performing an Asamedha sacrifice, the demigods gave him some nectar, and he got four very qualified sons, Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. But then they were taken away from him by Vishwamrita, and practically speaking, at that time Dasarath fainted, separation. He goes and kills big demons like Tataka, throws Marishi into the ocean, lifts the bow when Sita comes back to the kingdom, is just about to be enthroned as the king, the emperor of the world, and he's banished into the forest for 14 years along with Sita and Lakshman. And in the forest, he lives a peaceful life until his wife gets stolen. he gets the alliance of the monkeys, the Varanas, fights a huge battle against Ravana. His wife comes back, and after the fight, he doesn't want to have anything to do with his wife, seemingly. She enters into fire, comes out of the fire, lives with her for some years, and as soon as she gets pregnant, he banishes her into the forest. His sons grow up, Lavan and Kush, and they defeat him in battle, and just when they're about to be reunited, Sita enters into the earth. And then Ram has to rule for so many years. So this story is full of lamentation and suffering. Everyone's suffering, seemingly. Ram's suffering, Sita's suffering, Ravana's suffering, everyone's suffering. So why do we read Ramayana? Hanuman, he was meditating on Ramayana 24 hours a day. Does that mean that Hanuman was taking pleasure in suffering? Think, oh yeah, that was great when Ravana kidnaps Sita. Wow, let's meditate on that again. How she was screaming and Jatayu came and got his wings cut off and fell down on the ground and Ram came over and he's vomiting blood all the time and Ram's saying, tell me more. And Jatayu said, I'm sorry, and he dies. So does that mean Hanuman was thinking, wow, that was really great pleasure in the ghastly rasa? No, actually, although it's full of suffering, but it's all ecstatic because of the transcendental feelings. All these pastimes invoke so many different feelings of emotion, all centered around Sita and Ram. And although it seems that practically the whole Ramayana takes place in 14 years, and practically speaking, very few of those years, only 1 year is really described very vividly, at least not even a year, just the battle between the Ram and Ravana, that's really described in detail. And I believe that Ram lived with Sita, Ram ruled over the planet for I forget how many millions of years. Because this is during Treta Yuga, so Treta Yuga people lived for 10,000 years, but Ram, somehow or another, he ruled for a long time. So all during that time, he was with Sita. But we don't hear about that. Actually, our lives are quite lamentable. He was with Sita for so many thousands of years. And here, even the greatest love story, Romeo and Juliet, they're only together for a few days, practically speaking. So actually, Sita was quite fortunate, although the unfortunate parts are what's emphasized. Separation. In other words, love and separation. What's really emphasized here in the Ramayana is Vipalamba Seva. That here in the material world, we're hankering always for the objects of our senses. And that hankering is causing us great pain, although we think it's pleasure. And the more we hanker, the more we think we're enjoying, although actually we're suffering. But the more we hanker in the material world, the more we're covered over by illusion, we don't understand what is our position, what is our situation. And then if we get the objects of our happiness, sambhoga, reunion with the objects, it only lasts for a few seconds actually. What to speak of years, of thousands of years, just a few seconds, and the next moment we're lamented. So the material world principally means hankering and lamentation. With a few moments where we forget about hankering and lamentation, where we think we're in bliss. But the Ramayana is full of lamentation, but it's all bliss. And it's full of not so much hankering, or yeah, we could say hankering, separation. There's hankering and lamentation going on simultaneously. Lamenting over separation from Ram and hankering for Ram. But it's all full of pleasure. Otherwise, why would Hanuman continuously meditate upon these pastimes for millions of years. So similarly, we can also meditate on these problems, on these pastimes, that between pastimes of Lord Ram and Sita and Ram and Lakshman, Hanuman, and so many other devotees. And even during the problems that we have in the material world, we can realize that our problems are pretty insignificant. Imagine if you were walking along one day, you were in the forest, and some Rakshasa came and took you away. That would be a big problem, especially if he was telling you if you didn't surrender, he'd eat you. And then after you were recovered, then the person who recovers you tells you to enter into fire after you're saved from the Rakshasas. The person who recovers you tells you to enter into fire and then banishes you into the forest. So although it's seemingly painful, but actually it's all pleasurable. It's all transcendental pleasurable. Because Krishna is all pleasure. And everything in relation to Krishna is also pleasurable. And Sita, who is manifesting transcendental love for Krishna, is full of Ladini Shakti. She's an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So it's all pleasurable. And those who are connected in the same feeling, they're also, it's all pleasure. Of course, I couldn't say that Ram, or that Ravana was full of pleasure. But we have to remember that he's an incarnation of one of the gatekeepers, him and his brother, Kumbhakarna and Ravana. They're the second incarnations of Jayan Vijaya. So they're not ordinary personality. And this place called Ayodhya is also there in the spiritual world. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we find that Gop Kumara, he actually goes and visits Ayodhya. And there the Varnas are there. Hanuman's there, Angada is there, Neela is there, even Dvivida, who's always up to monkey business. He's there too. Dvivida, although he came here, he was a great servant of Krishna. Dvivida is the one who became a friend of Vanasura. And when Vanasura was killed, he became very disturbed. Actually, Balmasura. And he began to create disturbances all over Dwarka by going to the ocean, waving his hands, and creating tidal waves that would wash over the city, the shore of Dwarka. He'd go in and throw stool and urine on the sages' sacrifices, capture the aristocratic women of Dwarka and rape them, take the men and women of Dwarka and throw them into caves and seal the caves with rocks like a bringy insect. Not the type of person you'd want to meet on the street, even if you're living in Dwarka. So he was a great general in the army of Lord Ramachandra. He was a confidential associate of Sugriva, but still he became deviated by bad association. So those who were looking for references to how the Jiva could have fallen down from his position, we can take reference to Dvivida, who is actually still is a great devotee. But somehow or another, by bad association, he became deviant. Just like we all heard of Aristasura. So Aristasura was actually a very nice bull. But by bad association, he became a demon. He became Aristasura. So, here Lord Ramachandra, he protects the innocent. And those who are rakshasas, that they meet a seemingly very pleasant, unpleasant end, but actually it is all just to create a story, the Ramayana, so when the devotees, they can hear this Ramayana, they can actually take transcendental pleasure. So all these different personalities, as I said in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, they're also there in the spiritual world. In Ayodhya, Gopakumara, he went to, first of all, he went through all the different planets in this material world. He reached the Brahmaloka, but he wasn't satisfied there. Because every time he chanted his mantra, the Gopal mantra, immediately this cowherd, this blue cowherd boy would appear in his heart. He didn't know who he was, but somehow or another he was attracted to him. So although he became Brahma, he became Indra, he became Brahma, he went through the coverings of the material universe, and the material energy personified came and offered herself to him, and he said, no thanks. He kept on going on, he went to the impersonal Brahman, he was about to be merged into the Brahman, and he decided that wasn't a good idea. He went to Mahashiva Loka, and there Nandi and Lord Shiva are wildly dancing. We think we have kirtan sometimes, wild kirtan. But they have really wild kirtan. So wild that Lord Shiva throws off all his clothes and just jumping, swirling in the air, on the ground. Nandi, everyone's just completely crazy, just chanting Hare Krishna. And they go on for lifetimes of Brahma. And then he went to Vaikuntha, and there he saw Lord Narayan. Son of Vaikuntha, he saw Lord Narayan. He tried to run up to him and embrace him, shouting out, Gopal. So he looked like Gopal, and then all the residents of Vrindavan, some of the guards in Vrindavan grabbed him, took him outside and started to chastise him, telling him to control himself. You know, you're in Vaikuntha, don't act so crazily. Then he wasn't satisfied there. Everyone in Vaikuntha was completely ecstatic, except for him. He was morose. So Narada Muni asked him one day, he said, here in Vaikuntha, everyone's happy except for you. What's wrong? He said, I think you don't belong here. So the first place he sent him after Vaikuntha was to Ayodhya. And when he got there, there were so many varnas jumping all around, and he came to see Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman. And there Hanuman was offering all kinds of different services, sometimes fanning Lord Ramachandra, sometimes offering betel nuts. He was doing one after another. But still he wasn't satisfied. But these pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, they go on in the spiritual world. The main pastime is, the main pleasure is the different relationships of service, love. So here, this loving feelings, they're accentuated by the different paraphernalia, such as rakshasas, plenty of rakshasas in the Ramayana. But actually they simply serve to heighten the feelings of the bhav of separation between Sita and Ram. Otherwise it would be quite a dull story, for us at least. Not that in the Ayodhya, you go there, there's no demons, and you think, wow, this place is boring. What's going on here? You know, they're just fanning Lord Ramachandra and there's prasad. Of course, it's all, if we were actually there, we'd find out there's nothing but pleasure there. But in our material conception of life, we have no experience of transcendental pleasure, or hardly any. Therefore, we can't really appreciate the paraphernalia of pleasure. Ashvadana, ashvadana, just like it says in the Brahma Samhita. Everything there is transcendental, blissful and tasteful, because everyone there has transcendental pleasure. Transcendental love for Ram. But here, for us to appreciate the Ramayana, they have to add a few demons, a few feelings of separation, you know, Mantara, or Ravana, or Indrajit. These things have to be added because then we can appreciate that this is something really important and exciting. But this is not the real essence of the Ramayana. We can go on telling the story of the Ramayana, but unless we actually understand this feeling of love, of service, which is the basic principle of the Ramayana, then we will miss the whole thing. We may get, it may be exciting. People read the Ramayana day and night, but when they miss that essence, they missed everything. Just like when Gopal, when Raghunath Bhatt, not Raghunath Bhatt, Gopal Bhatt, Gopal Bhattacharya when he was left his parents and he was coming to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. So at that time there was one devotee, seemingly devotee named Ramdas, who was accompanying him and trying to serve him. And he was carrying Gopabhata, one of the six Goswamis. He was carrying his whatever suitcase he had, and he was carrying his water pot and serving him day and night. And this particular person, day and night he was chanting the name of Ram. So Gopabhata said, I can't really accept service from you because you're an exalted Brahmin. But no. So he said, no, I'm just doing this because you're actually a higher class Brahmin than I am. It's my duty to serve you. Apparently he's a great devotee. Day and night he's chanting the name of Ram. But when they arrived at Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Gopabhata, asking about his family. But this particular devotee, seemingly devotee named Ramdas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't at all recognize him. Because although apparently he was a great devotee and chanting constantly the name of Ram, but he thought he was Ram. So he's an impersonalist, therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't take any particular pleasure at seeing this Ramdas. On the other hand, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in South India, he came across one Brahmin who invited him for lunch. So Lord Ramachandra came for lunch, still there was no lunch. And when Lord Chaitanya came for lunch, there was no lunch. And this particular Brahmin was simply lamenting. How is it that Sita has been captured by Ravana? How is it the mother, Sita, the mother of the universe, has been captured by this demon Ravana? So he's lamenting day and night, so he couldn't even cook. He was so much perturbed. If you think we're in anxiety, sometimes we have something in our mind, we can't forget about it. But here is the devotee, day and night he was just thinking, how is it that Sita was captured by Ravana? So much so he forgot to cook for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because we can't use that as an excuse. Why didn't he come to cook? Why didn't he do the deity offering? Oh, how is it that Sita didn't get there? I was thinking about it. I couldn't move out of bed. I was in my bed all day just lamenting like that, wondering. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated that particular feeling on the part of this devotee. But when he went to South India, he found in the Kurma Purana, there is one section that actually, when Ravana had stolen Sita, that it wasn't the real Sita he had stolen, it was the Maya Sita, that Agni, the fire god, had come and taken the real Sita away and replaced her with Maya Sita, and it was this Maya Sita that Ravana had kidnapped. And so when Lord Ramachandra had asked Sita to go into the fire, then actually the real Sita went into the fire, the Maya Sita went into the fire, and the real Sita came out. So some parts of Ramayana we may not understand the full import. So then he found this part of the Kurma Purana, had it copied. There were no photocopy machines there, so he had to have it written. That he found also the Brahma Samhita and the Krishna Karanamrita, took it back and gave it to this particular devotee, and he became very happy. Finally, after so many years of wondering, why and how is it that Sita had been captured by Ravana? Now he had learned that actually Sita hadn't been captured by Ravana. And therefore he became very happy and cooked for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this bhava is this feeling. This is the actual life of the devotees. Not only the devotees of Lord Krishna, but the devotees of all the incarnations. It's the feeling that they invoke that attract them to a particular incarnation of Krishna. So those who are Ram Bhaktis, generally the children, and I always notice whenever we have, you know, the children when they're around 7 years old, they all become Ram Bhaktis. Because that way they can run around with swords and bow and arrow and shoot each other in the name of Ram. But we should, that's all right, because even Lord Nityananda, he used to play like that. Lord Krishna and Balaram, they used to play the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. When Lord Nityananda was playing with his associates one time, then he was playing the part of Lakshman, which everyone was amazed how he knew how to play the part so well. So one of his friends hit him with an arrow saying, "I'm indigent," and here's the arrow. He hit him with the arrow, and Lord Nityananda fell unconscious. So no one could wake up Lord Nityananda. So they were saying, "Nitai, wake up, the game's over." Lord Nityananda was completely unconscious. He said, "Get up, it's all over, you know, it's time to go home, it's time for prasadam." Prasad! But he was completely unconscious. So suddenly everyone became very worried. And then one devotee said, "Wait a second." One of his companions said, "Lord Nitai said that if he falls unconscious, someone should play the part of Hanuman and pretend that he's going to the Himalayas and pick up one of the mountains there and bring back the herbs." So one of his companions said, "I'm Hanuman, I'm going to bring back the mountain." He said, "Now I have the mountain." And they brought the herbs to Lord Nityananda, put them before his nose, and he woke up. And everyone was very happy. So we should also enter into that mood, if we can, that absorption in the pastimes. Even Krishna takes past pleasure. What is Krishna thinking about for Krishna and Balaram? Sometimes they think about their different incarnations. They play their different incarnations and they meditate on them because they're full of pleasure. And the different incarnations, they're meditating on each other, although they're all the same person. So what to speak of us? If eternally they can meditate on these pastimes, how much happiness will we get from meditating on these pastimes too? So we don't have very much time. As a matter of fact, we don't have any time. But I'll read a little bit. Yes. So I'll read the summary of the chapter, and then I'll add a little bit. So this chapter describes, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, chapter 11. Lord Ramachandra rules the world. Why should we go into pastimes of Lord Ramachandra? So this 10th chapter describes how Lord Ramachandra appeared in the dynasty of Maharaj Khatvanga. So we all know who Maharaj Khatvanga was. He praised Krishna Tvadiya Parapankaja Panjarantam Tvaya Tayaiva Nevishutu Manasa Raja Manasa Hamsa. So that let the swan of my mind enter into the stem. Is that Maharaj Khatvanga? Good. Khatvanga was the one who asked the demigods, "How much more time do I have?" They said, "You have one moment." And he came down to the earth planet and surrendered in a moment. So he was in the dynasty of Maharaj Khatvanga. The son of Maharaj Khatvanga was Dhira Gavahu, and his son was Raghu. The son of Raghu was Aja. The son of Aja was Dasarath, and the son of Dasarath was Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Lord descended into this world in his full quadruple expansion, as Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, great sages like Valmiki, who were actually knowledge of the Absolute Truth, described his transcendental pastimes. Sri Sukadeva Goswami describes his pastimes in brief. So Lord Ramachandra, of course, was asked by the demigods to come to fight against Ravana. Of course, it was Krishna himself who had Ravana come here, Lord Narayana, so that he could have some pastimes here in the material world. And as we read the other day, these pastimes are principally not so because Krishna, he likes a good fight, although Krishna does like a good fight, but principally all these pastimes, they're all meant for our benefit so that we have something about Krishna to think about. Something within our experience that will become exciting. If Krishna came here and was simply sitting on the throne all day long, no one had actually taken very great interest. So Krishna comes and he creates all these wonderful pastimes. Even in his incarnation of Krishna, he spent most of the pastimes we have about Krishna in his boyhood are not Krishna with the gopis. Mostly we hear about Krishna killing demons, because everyone likes to hear about a good fight. Matter of fact, when they did a survey, who was the most famous person in the world? This is in 1990. Guess who was the most famous person in the world in 1990? What? Yeah, Muhammad Ali. That's Cassius Clay. Muhammad Ali. He was the most famous person. Because people like to hear about a good fight. Everyone. That's what most of the newspaper is about. People fighting. Otherwise, the material world is quite boring. So Krishna comes and he creates a situation where there is a good fight. So if Krishna came and there is just ordinary persons to fight against, then there wouldn't be much of a challenge. So he comes and he sends very powerful personalities, like Ravana. Ravana was so powerful that, practically speaking, even death personified, the Amaraj, didn't fight against him. Of course, he could have killed Ravana, but he didn't want to. But the Varuna, Indra, all these demigods, they were all fearful of Ravana. Even when Ravana had stolen Sita, even the trees and the wind stopped blowing, Vayu stopped blowing out of fear. Didn't want to disturb Ravana. Could you imagine how powerful it was? The wind became stopped blowing out of fear of Ravana. But still, Ravana, when he fought against Lord Ramachandra, still he was defeated. Does anyone know who Ravana's father was? What's that? Who is Ravana's father? Vishravas. Who is a good Brahmin? So how did a good Brahmin give birth to a demon? Matter of fact, not one demon, but three demons. Three demons, namely Kumbhakarna and Surpanaka. And one devotee, Vibhishan. Yeah. And who is Vishravas' father? Palastha. And who is Palastha? He was one of the mental sons of Lord Brahma, a great Brahman. So from the mind of Brahma came Palastha, and from Palastha came Vishravas. And from Vishravas came Ravana. Doesn't sound like good, you know, something happened in the family. So actually what happened is that Palastha, he married, gave birth to Vishravas, that devotee. But the Rakshasas at that time, one of them, they wanted to create some problems. So one of the principal Rakshasas, he sent his daughter. And, oh, what happened to Palastha, he was meditating in a particular area. So all these apsaras would come and fool around all the time. You know what apsaras are like. They're just frivolously playing around where he was meditating. So he became disturbed, and he made the pronouncement that if any apsara comes around here anymore, she'll get pregnant. So needless to say, most of the apsaras weren't into it, so they didn't come around anymore. So he was meditating there quite peacefully, but one apsara didn't hear the pronouncement, and she went there, and suddenly she got pregnant. So she went to her father and said that, "I didn't do anything, but I'm pregnant." And her father said, "Yeah, I heard that one before." So So they went to the sage philosopher and said, look, my daughter's pregnant, you got to marry her. He said, well, okay. So he married her. And then that son was Vishravas. So Vishravas was a very dutiful Brahmin, very elevated Brahmin. But one of the Rakshasas decided a good way of getting into the family, making inroads into this family, is to send his daughter there. So he sent his daughter, who had a desire to have children, with Vishravas. So Vishravas said, well, what are you doing here? And she said, well, you're a great sage. Take a big guess. Guess my mind. Oh, you want some children with me? That's all right. I can give you some children. The only problem is you came at the wrong time. Therefore, because you've come at this inauspicious time, therefore your children will be demons, will be rakshasas. So that's how, because she came at the wrong time. But one of them became a great devotee, Vibhishan. So we know Ravana was born with 10 heads, 20 arms, black as coal, howling like an ass. Not a very auspicious birth. And then Kumbhakarna came, and he was also a Rakshasa. Not quite as bad as Ravana, he actually had some common sense. And then Surpanaka came. She was also not very pleasant to look at. And then we had Vibhishan, who was a very nice devotee, and the demigod showered flowers. So here are these personalities took birth in order principally to engage in Lord Ramachandra's pastimes for our benefit. They didn't take birth just to be sages, although they did quite a bit of that. But principally they came here in order to give us an opportunity to set the background so that these different emotions can be appreciated. To set the background of so many struggles and wars and conflicts, and so that we can appreciate Lord Ramachandra's pastimes, and hopefully by learning to appreciate Lord Ramachandra, his great energies, we can also gradually learn to appreciate these different emotional feelings of service, of love between him and his devotees. That these pastimes help to invoke these sentiments, and if we can appreciate these sentiments of feelings between his devotees, then we can actually get the essence of the Ramayana. Otherwise, sometimes people like to, you know, you read about these battles with these battle axes, you know, coming in waves, and people getting their limbs cut off, and just like in the pastime of Kumbhakarna, he was so big that in order to wake him up, they had 10,000 elephants going up and down his body. But he wasn't at all disturbed by it. And obviously they weren't just ordinary elephants, they must have been pretty big elephants. Because the Rakshasas, they themselves were twice as big as an ordinary person. An ordinary person there, the Kshatriyas, in Treta Yuga, in Dwarpa Yuga, were 18 feet long. That was the Kshatriyas. Although Krishna was a Kshatriya, he was a little small. He was only 14 feet high. Still, he included as a Kshatriya, although he was kind of a small Kshatriya. But the Kshatriyas are 18 feet long, high. So imagine Treta Yuga, how big they were. And the Rakshasas were twice as big. So imagine how big their elephants were. And 10,000 of them going up and down the body of Kumbhakarna to wake him up, and he still wouldn't wake up. Didn't even feel him. Must have been a pretty big demon. We've heard of big demons before, but he was really a big demon. That when he woke up finally, it said that he just had huge piles of buffalo and deer and all this piled up. He just took them in his palm, just threw them in his mouth, crunched them around a little bit and swallowed them. And quaffed huge barrels of liquor and blood just to wash the buffalo down. Then when he got up, he was so big that when he walked, the whole earth trembled. And all the monkeys, they could see this huge demon bigger than the city walking around the city. So they all became frightened, because with one step he could smash thousands of monkeys just by his foot. And then, of course, he could change sides. So when he went in to see Ravana, he did, you know, smash into the palace. Where's Ravana? No, he reduced his size in order to talk to Ravana. But he was such a gigantic demon. So huge. So we can hear about these great, fantastic demons like Kumbhakarna or even Indrajit or Ravana himself. We can hear about the Pushpaka. Is that the name of the chariot? The Pushpaka? Pushpaka chariot that had palaces on it. It had lakes with lotuses and swans and all kinds of columns made out of jewels and chintamani stone. And it was just flying through the air like a city. So these are all very attractive, especially they're wonderful. But when we hear about these pastimes, we should especially take note about the feelings of affection that these devotees have for Ram. That when Ram wanted to leave the city of Ayodhya to enter into the forest, the whole city went with him. Could you imagine if Bush, President Bush, was exiled into the forest? When he left the city, everyone would go, boo! No one would really care very much about it. Probably go in the forest and hunt the dog. But here, when he left, when Lord Ramachandra left, that everyone was so much affectionate toward Lord Ramachandra, he was such an exalted person that all the armies, all the citizens, everyone wanted to go to the forest with him. That even the animals in Ayodhya, they always want, the elephants and the horses want to go to the forest too. Everyone wanted to be with Lord Ramachandra. Therefore, he wasn't an ordinary personality, or he's not an ordinary personality. And when we hear about these relationships, then we can understand why we should also become a devotee. Of course, you can also see that Lord Ramachandra, although he's such an exalted person, that when Sita was stolen, that immediately he made an effort to go into the forest, to find her. And there are many simultaneous stories going along simultaneously. There are many different levels of the story. Just like it says in one place that Lord Ramachandra, after Sita was kidnapped by Ravan, he went completely crazy. And he was running around to all the trees asking, where's Sita? So, and he was going to the sages and he was screaming and crying, rolling on the ground. So on one level it shows that if you become attached to a woman in the material world, you go crazy. It's not very good to become attached to women in the material world, because even if you become God, even God becomes crazy. Of course, that's just on one level to show the sages. Just like in the pastime of Mohini Murti, when Lord Shiva wanted to see Mohini Murti, and Lord Vishnu Narayan said, no, I don't think it's a good idea. So Shiva is known as a great Dhira, sober-minded person. But when he saw Mohini Murti, that he became completely infatuated with her, and he started to run everywhere, chasing after her. So all the sages are looking. There goes this woman running by. And there goes Lord Shiva running after her. What is Lord Shiva doing? So this is served to be a lesson for the great sages. You know, be careful dealing with women. Dealing with the illusory energy. Of course, she wasn't the illusory energy. Mohini Murti is an incarnation of Krishna. That's why even Lord Shiva became attracted to her. But still, for the ordinary persons, this is an example that we can use, how careful we have to be in our association. And if Lord Shiva can become captivated, what to speak of ourselves? On the other hand, so in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, we can see that on one level, the sages are shown that you have to be very careful. But of course, Lord Ramachandra's separation from Sita is separation from the internal energy of Krishna, which is Krishna's pleasure potency. But although he could have created millions and billions of Sitas, Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasambrahma Sevyamanam, he has millions of Sitas. Still, for this one Sita, he went out of his way, collected an army of millions of Varnas, built a bridge across the ocean, went to Lanka and destroyed the whole city, killed billions of Rakshasa soldiers, and just to recover this one Sita. So, although Lord Ramachandra has unlimited potency, still, even for one of his devotees, he'll go through so much trouble. Just like when Krishna went to the place of, I think it was Lakshmana? No, it wasn't Lakshmana. Mitravendra. I think it's Mitravendra. Who was it that had all, that her father had the bulls? Which one? Mitravendra. Her father had seven bulls, so Krishna went there with his army, asked for the hand of Mitravendra. And her father said, well, it's alright, but I promised, I made a vow that no one could marry my daughter unless he can subdue these seven bulls. So many great heroic kings have come here in order to try, but as soon as even the bulls smell their bodies, immediately they attack them and give them a good butt in the back and knock them out of the ring. Those were alive after the bulls got to them. He said, therefore I made this vow, you have to go and fight with them. You have to subdue them. So Krishna, he went into the arena, expanded himself seven times, and subdued all the bulls. They just became like little playthings after Krishna got done with them. Tied a noose around, a little ring around their nose, and just pulled them around like little toys. So part of the reason why Krishna did this is because Mitravendra had, what's that? Nagnajiti. Okay, Nagnajiti. Nagnajiti. Right. I think it's his cousin. Lakshmana was his cousin. Lakshmana was his cousin. Yeah, Mitravendra. Nagnajiti. So one of the reasons why Krishna did this is because Nagnajiti had understood. Is that her name? No, she must have another name.
That was
she has another name. Yeah, but she hasn't. I don't know, whoever said. She had heard that Krishna had married 16,108 or 107 princesses. And therefore, it might be a little discouraging to find out, you know, you're just one of the wives. So Krishna expanded himself seven times just to show her that although, yes, you're just going to be one of the wives, but, you know, still, I won't neglect you. I'll be with you all the time if I can expand myself into unlimited forms. So in the same way, although Lord Ramachandra has unlimited devotees, still, he's able to expand himself unlimited times. Even it says that when he was performing the sacrifices, because Sita wasn't there, so he'd make a golden Sita, and when he was performing the sacrifices, he'd make these golden Sitas. So he had so many golden Sitas. But the thing about the golden Sitas is that they're all actually Sita. So there came a time when all these golden Sitas, they were actually wanted a relationship with Krishna, because they're all actually Sita. So this is the inconceivable energy of the spiritual world, is that Krishna can expand himself unlimited times and associate with his devotees. So much so that even the great devotees or the devotees who are thinking about these pastimes, then Lord Ramachandra will actually appear within our minds in these pastimes. Just as the deity, one of the deities is can be within the mind. So by thinking of these pastimes, then Lord Ramachandra is actually personally there with his associates, even for the devotees. So how kind he is that he'll come out of his way, he'll come all the way from that yoga, just to get into our mind. We want him there, so we can enjoy our transcendental relationship with him. So I think I'll stop there, but we didn't tell. very many pastimes. There are so many pastimes. So are there any questions? Yes.
And Devaka.
Guest appearance, yeah. Yeah, it was Jaya and Maya. Of course, we read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that these personalities come in every millennium. Every millennium, there's Haranyakashipu and Haranyaksha, there's Ravana and his brother Kumbhakarna, there's Shishupala and Dantavakra. But sometimes they're actually Jaya and Vijaya, and sometimes they're actually demons. But when Jaga and Madai came, they were already liberated. So this is just, they got liberated, but the next thing is to go back to the spiritual world. So they were liberated, but they hadn't quite got by the spiritual world yet. So here they became devotees again, in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Chaitanya. We can't get to the spiritual world unless we become devotees again. So they had to take one more incarnation in order to get from simply going from demons to liberated, from liberated back to devotees. Yes? Well, she's probably separated from Ram too. She's probably the mentor. May not have been the original Sita, but she was just as good as Sita. Yeah, it's Maya Sita. So that probably, yeah. All these personalities are expansions of Sita or Radharani. Durga is an expansion, but Sita, the original Sita, can't be touched because she's the internal energy. Can't be touched by Ravana. So some illusory Sita had to come. That doesn't mean that it was all make-believe. I'm sure that she was feeling separation from Ram. She was in the mood of Sita, but she wasn't the internal energy. At least the body wasn't made of the internal energy. Anything else? Okay. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Mahahotaro Lord Ramachandra Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Ki Jai.